Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, for revealing him to all of creation in a magnificent way, Lord, revealed in all his glory. Help us today to catch sight of Jesus in this world and in your word, in our hearts, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you may lead us to dream again, and not just our dreams, but your dreams. Capture our hearts and our imaginations, that you may use us to do exceedingly more than what we could ask for or imagine, for your glory, for your kingdom, for the sake of our beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. How many of you need glasses to help you have better vision, or contacts or something, all right? If I take this off, all right, I know I could tell who you are because I know who you are, but you're blobs, all right? And so I've been wearing glasses since fifth grade, and when I couldn't see the chalkboard very well, glasses help your what? Your vision. It helps you see things clearly, especially if I'm going down the road and I'm very nearsighted. You wouldn't want me driving a car being nearsighted, right? You want me to be able to see everything that's coming. So it's important to have a vision so you can see where you're going, so you see what's around you, so you can know how to be safe, but also how to keep others safe. And this is a good year to be talking about vision, because what year is it? 2020, right? All right. This year I see things clearly, all right? 2020. Ah, that's great, all right? But I want to talk about this verse. Psalm 29:18. I have different versions there, but the very first one is this old King James version. Where there is no vision, what happens to people? The people perish. Have you heard that verse before? Where there is no vision, people perish. Well, what is this vision? In the English Standard Version, it talks about a prophetic vision, all right? Something that comes from God, and without that, people cast off restraint, all right? They cast off, you know, doing what they know they should do. Or in the NIV, it says, where there is no revelation from God, the people cast off restraint. But the second half of this verse gives us insight into what this vision is all about. The second half says, but blessed is he who keeps the what? The law. And so when we're talking about the vision here, this is vision that comes from God through his word. This prophetic vision, this word of God. Scripture teaches us that all scripture is God breathed, all right? Written not by human hands alone, but inspired by God. And so where God's word isn't present, what happens to people? They perish. They cast off restraint. They do whatever their heart leads them to do. Does that describe our world today? I think more and more. And so it's important as God's people to keep God's word in front of us, but also to know that we are living letters. We are God present in this world. You know, the disciples, they had a vision. They had a vision of the word in flesh, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when they saw Jesus there with Moses and Elijah, Peter said, let's stay here. This is good. But God had a different purpose, not to allow his son to stay there, but to accomplish a bigger dream, a bigger purpose. But he told his disciples, and he tells us today, God's voice says, this is my beloved son whom I love. And I love those last few words. What are we supposed to do to the word of God? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his words. Jesus knew that he didn't come to earth for glory, but he came to earth to suffer and to die, that his love would be expressed on the cross. And so we listen to him. My favorite translation of this passage from Proverbs 28:19 is actually from Eugene Peterson's, it's a paraphrase. If you can see this, let's read this verse together. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So part of having vision is seeing what God is doing, to see what God is up to. I think that takes time in God's word. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in fellowship with other believers. You know, last week we talked about this verse that when those are planted in the house of the Lord, that they're planted in God's word, what's going to happen? They're going to flourish. All right? I love that word. I want to flourish. Don't you guys? You want to flourish. Flourish where God has planted you. And part of that is being planted in God's word with a vision, with a dream that God has given to us through his Son and the Holy Spirit. And so today, I want you to dream again. I want you to dream again. I love about it in Acts chapter 2. They tell about how the prophecy from Joel is filled when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that young men will dream dreams and they will prophesy and tell of all the things that God has done. Does the Holy Spirit fill you? Yes, it does. Yay, right answer. Right? Yes, you are filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? Is the Holy Spirit at work in your heart and your life? Yes, all right? Is God calling you and leading you for a purpose to be used for his glory and his kingdom? Yes. Sometimes that's not our dream, but God has a dream for us. But sometimes dreams aren't always good for us, right? Do you remember Joseph? All right? He told his brothers that he had a dream that all of these haystacks would bow down to the center haystack. And who was the center haystack? Joseph, all right? He told this story while he was wearing his dad's, you know, multicolored jacket, all right? And then he had another dream where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to who? To Joseph, all right? His brothers weren't so happy, all right? They thought, who is this, you know, young upstart kid? And one day when Joseph was taking lunch to his brothers, they saw him from a ways off. You remember what they did to Joseph? They threw him in a well, then they saw some traders come by. Maybe we'll kill him, but instead we'll sell him into slavery. And Joseph was taken to Egypt. And they told his dad, as they covered his coat of many garment of many colors with blood of an animal, that his son was dead. Where did those dreams get Joseph? Not in a good place, but as Paul Harvey says, let me tell you. You remember the rest of the story, right? Okay. I'm telling my age a little bit. My parents listened to AM radio every morning getting ready. And so Paul Harvey was always on in the morning. So I love the rest of the story. God used Joseph in the house of Potiphar and then even from jail to interpret dreams until God placed Joseph right where he wanted him, as the right-hand man of Pharaoh, who was able to save crops during the 7 good years of harvest. So then those 7 years of famine, there was enough, and eventually led God's people to the providence of Egypt. And so God had a plan for Joseph, even when in the moment he had this dream, right? And what do you think he thought of this dream as he was sitting there in that well? All right. Well, I think sometimes those dreams can get squashed. Even Jesus had a dream as he taught people. He dreamed, he had this vision that all people would be drawn to him, that when he was lifted up, all people would be drawn to him. Other people thought that he would be lifted up like on a throne or lifted up in glory, but instead, Jesus was lifted up on a cross. He was lifted up as a criminal, hung on the cross, sentenced to die, even though he had done nothing wrong. Jesus had a vision. God gave him a dream to save all people. And Jesus even prayed in the garden, Lord, you know, if there's any way you can remove this cup from me, but not my will be done, but your will. Dreams that God gives us aren't always easy. They aren't always smooth. They aren't always just follow Jesus and be happy, right? Blessings come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. But when we're following God's vision, when we're following God's will in our life, there will be a joy that wells up from the inside, a joy that nothing can take away with the presence of God in our lives. And that's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That even when we die on the inside, when we sin and we break God's commands, even when we reject God's dream for us and turn and go our own way, even when our dreams are broken and we give up on God, God never gives up on us. We look to the cross and we see forgiveness offered through faith. We see a fresh start, a new beginning, a new life for all who receive and trust that Jesus is God's Son, our Savior. And so I want you to dream again. And where are you at in your dream? You know, maybe you have no dream. Maybe you don't really know what this whole God thing about, what Jesus is about, and you're just living for the moment. I got to tell you that there's so much more when you say, Jesus, I want more. And by following Jesus, by denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following him, Jesus gives us more. If you have trusted in Jesus, place your faith in him to know that he gives you a dream and a purpose that is bigger than you. Or maybe you're chasing the wrong dream, all right? You're living for something that God says, yeah, that's the wrong dream. This is a time to refocus on what God wants for you. Maybe you had a good dream, but it's just gotten stale. Have you ever been there where you were excited at one point, but now it's just like you're going through the motions? You don't know what Jesus means the rest of the week you go to church because you've always gone to church. But I think there's something more than even that. Maybe you just have a vet dream that God is calling you to something, but you're not sure. Or maybe you have a God dream. This is what I want for all of you, a God dream. A God dream is God honoring us for his glory, for him. It's often culture-defining. It goes against the ways of this world, and it's often impossible by your efforts alone. God gives us dreams that God uses our weakness to show his strength to the world. And so today, I have a dream for us as a church. To be changed by how we live. And our young people are singing this offertory. So I said, leave when I start talking about FPU. All right. So they're not, you know, you don't all have the permission to leave, okay? Just the kids are gonna go up to the balcony. If you want to go up to the balcony, you can, all right? But so somebody said, Pastor, why are you talking about FPU? You're kind of pushing this. I think that we're living in a culture where being free from debt is countercultural, of saying no to this world is something that pleases God. And I think Financial Peace University, it changes our hearts, it changes our cultures, it brings us together in small groups. It's not about the money, all right? It really isn't about money, it's not about tithing. It's about allowing God's story to become our story. As Joseph was set free, that God may set us free. Dave Ramsey gives us this great quote. Remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Financial Peace University is not about money. It's about who? Jesus Christ. It's about God's truth, God's scripture, a vision according to God's way to live. And part of that spiritual walk with God involves how we handle our finances and our resources. And I think this is a spiritual journey that I want all of us to be a part of, a spiritual journey for us to join and be a part of. And maybe you don't need Financial Peace University, but maybe somebody else needs you to be in a small group that you may walk alongside, that you may cheerlead, that you may say, let me tell you what I've figured out. And so we are better together when we do this. And so may you dream a little bit. Dream a little bit bigger as God sets us free to follow Jesus and to live for him. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the vision of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing him to die on the cross to set us free. Help us, Lord, to not live for ourselves, but to have a vision that's bigger than ourselves, a vision to live for you. Move us, shape us, inspire us, forgive us, and set us free from the bondage of sin, that we may live with a dream that you have placed in our heart. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.